Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today we have a return visit from Laurent Bougnon, who works as a senior director for Identity Mine, which is one of the leading companies and a gold partner for Microsoft technologies such as Windows Presentation Foundation, Xamarin, Windows Store, Windows Phone, Xbox, and generally for the user experience. Laurent is an MS regional director and a Microsoft MVP. In fact, he's been one for 10 years. He is an author on Pluralsight, probably best known for creating MVVM Lite, and he is based in Zurich, Switzerland. Laurent, how are you?
I'm very fine, thank you, and yourself?
Good, and glad to have you back.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure.
You've been a busy guy the last few months.
Yeah, a lot of travel, a lot of conferences. It's a little bit more quiet right now, so I'm enjoying being at home in Zurich, Switzerland. And the travel was fun. It's always great to travel and see, you know, a lot of friends, including yourself, in your home turf in Boston, right?
It was great. Yes, you've been working. I see from Facebook and from some of your postings on Unity, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So Identity Mine has been a partner with the HoloLens team for a little bit more than a year now. And of course, we've started working on quite a few projects in that time. And basically, we had the big chance to have some HoloLens devices a little bit earlier than the general public, I would say. And so, of course, it's been a very interesting trip, especially for people like me who are rather, I would say, 2D developers, two-dimension developers. So, you know, I come from a long line of Java and HTML and XAML, and now I'm kind of diving into Unity and into 3D. And it's very interesting. It's something quite different for multiple reasons. I would say one reason is, of course, because of the 3D aspect. So you have to deal with 3D physics and with a lot of vector maths and, matrix mathematics and these kind of things, which I did when I was in engineer school, but that was 20 years ago. And so, of course, finding a practical application especially for vector math, I would say is very rewarding, because back then I spent many, many hours in math class, mathematics class, trying to understand, how does it work? And I would say, I mean, of course, there are some practical applications when you work in, doing electricity and stuff like that, which is my profession. I'm actually an electrical engineer initially before I started doing some software. But in the world of software, I never really used that. And so now having the possibility to do some 3D programming and using these skills, basically, it's very rewarding. It's really nice. The other challenge is that Unity, I would say, is really optimized for game development. And we are not really doing games at Identity Mine. We are rather doing, professional applications. And so in the learning process, a lot of things that we do in Unity, are really optimized for games. But when we have to apply that to standard applications, or not really standard, but I would say enterprise application or industrial applications or these kind of things, it's a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of I don't want to say hacking because I really hate this word, but you know what I mean, right? You have to find workarounds around certain things or certain aspects of Unity. So yeah, it's been really interesting. I had the great chance to be in Amsterdam recently at Unite, and my colleague and my friend René Schulte, who is also working at Identity Mine, had a HoloLens session at Unite, which was very popular. And so I went there to support him a little bit and to meet people in this environment. And also the very first day was actually a Unity training, and so I attended that. It was fun, and I came back home with a lot of ideas in my head, and I started programming a small application which I'm really using mostly as a learning canvas. I like to do that, having an app which is not necessarily super complicated, but which does stuff, and like this I can learn techniques and integrate that into that. And we've been doing a lot of demos, especially, I mean, a lot of people are very interested in trying out the HoloLens, and unfortunately we cannot just go and meet everybody who wants to try it, but trying to meet people who have concrete ideas of project, that's really nice, because then you can I would say we are in a phase now where we are envisioning a lot of projects. Some projects are already in production, but some projects, some people people were just really envisioning. And it's a very creative phase where you're trying to kind of imagine, okay, can I actually take this device and apply it to that particular scenario? So I've been doing a lot of that in the recent few weeks, and that's been very interesting.
How steep a learning curve is it for Unity? And also, is that because it's early, or is that pretty much how the language works?
The learning curve for a 2D programmer to dive into Unity and the 3D programming is quite the main issue. And it's not because it's not mature. It is absolutely mature. It's, we are using Unity version 5, so it's established. There is a lot. There is actually a very, very nice community around Unity, so you can find a lot of information online. The documentation is pretty good. It's C#. It's integrated into Visual Studio. So the development environment is actually pretty comfortable. The main issue, I would say, is really that it's a very different way of programming. So when you come from Java and you go into HTML and you go into XAML, I would say especially the step from HTML to XAML is not really that big a deal, because it is markup, it is 2D, a button is a button, and then it has a click event, if you know what I mean, right? It's just a matter of finding what the API is named, and then you got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On the other hand, when you go to 3D, a lot of things are very different. Suddenly you start shooting rays, lasers, laser rays in every direction. And then you have some colliders, and then you have some physics, and then you have, the Unity, the HoloLens is a fascinating device because it's able to recognize the environment. So it knows that there is a table, it knows there is a chair. It doesn't really know it's a chair or it's a table, but what it knows is that there is a surface here that is colliding, with whatever hologram you want to place there. So I would say it's a way of programming which is really closer to the real world. There is a lot less abstraction than when you do 2D programming. But of course, it's also very different. And so you have to learn all that. And the learning curve is pretty steep. In addition, what we do is HoloLens development. So it's not traditional Unity development. In a traditional Unity game, for example, you have a camera which is a little bit outside of the game, and then you're kind of watching the game happen as if you were, floating above the game. But with HoloLens development, you're really immersed into, basically the camera is your head. And so that changes a lot of dynamics. So you have to adapt, the samples that you find, for example, you have very often to adapt them to the actual scenario of the HoloLens, and the fact that you're in the scene, and the fact that you don't just have holograms that you're going to interact with, but you also have the real world. And so that's quite
deep. Yes, and it sounds very intimidating. So reassure me that I'll still have work doing 2D programming and regular buttons and forms. Or really, honestly, do you think that in some number of years, instead of having forms over data, we'll have things suspended in 3D space and interacting with them for business purposes?
Well, I think that, in my opinion, and based on my experience in the past, I've been doing software for 20 years, and I've never seen a technology disappear completely. So I would say what I see is that when a new technology arrives, mostly it's complementary. And we see a big push into AR and VR at the moment. But I don't think it's going to replace, the laptop or the phone for a good many years. I mean, eventually, I believe that it's going to go in a direction where we are going to have any kind of vision instrument which might replace our smartphones, for example. And so that might, on the long term, that might obsolete the need for a 2D surface which we hold in our hand. But I'm not even sure I'm going to see that. I mean, the technology obviously is going fast, but we need a lot of miniaturization. We need much better battery life than now. The HoloLens has actually a very good battery life. It goes easily over 4 hours. Maybe I mean I got it running 5 hours without interruptions and without recharging once. So it has a good battery life. But if you miniaturize that and want to integrate that into glasses or into some kind of contact lens or whatever, something which is very wearable, obviously we are not there yet by a long run, right? And so I think that we'll be probably retired by then, if not already in another world. I mean, there is no reason to panic, really. I mean, the good thing when you're a passionate developer is that stuff which is new, it's a little bit intimidating. And I won't lie to you, I was a little bit intimidated when I started and thinking, oh wow, I have to. And it's probably the first time in a long time that I've had to really, you know, dive into something which is completely new, because I mean, I've been doing XAML for 10 years now, and even though we keep changing, and you know the story, right? I mean, Windows 10 is not exactly like Silverlight, which was not exactly like WPF, but it's still the same tools and the same skills and the same, you know, in the end, it's still the same XAML.
Yes, going back to C, because
yeah,
when we were C programmers and then C++ came along, there was a you should pardon the expression, a paradigm shift, but it was essentially the same language and the same syntax. And then once we got used to the object-oriented and were comfortable with that, then C# came along and made all of that a whole lot easier. But it's the same. I mean, you know, many of us have been in the same essential area of programming for a long time now. What you're discussing is a complete break.
Yeah, it's correct. And it is definitely intimidating, but at the same time, it's just so much fun, you know? So I would say that it kind of balances. Probably the only thing which is a little bit negative at the moment for myself is a little bit the frustration of not going fast enough, because I have so many ideas. And since I'm in a learning phase, I need to, you know, I need to pace myself, basically. I want to make sure that when I'm doing something, I do it the right way. And so, of course, there is a lot of research into that and a lot of diving into samples and watching videos and making sure that it's correct and bugging my friends who are actually expert at this kind of programming. So it's, of course, it's taking a lot of time. And so I'm not as fast in Unity development as I would like. And so that's a little bit frustrating, I would say. But on the other hand, it's really so much fun. And, you know, when you deploy your application on a HoloLens device and you see the stuff that you created come to life in front of your eyes, literally in front of your eyes, you know, you cannot touch it, but it's you know, it's as good as if you could, right? So
I absolutely remember the first time I got the computer to do something I wanted it to do. Yeah. And it was like magic.
It is, yeah. And here you have, of course, the dimension of doing that, you know, it's really literally in front of you, right? So no more abstraction, no more 2D screen between you and your creation. It's really floating right there. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, I'm blessed because I love learning new stuff. And I think in our profession, if somebody is blessed with the fact that they like to learn new things, it's really a great profession to be. If you don't, I guess it must be sometimes a little bit daunting and a little bit cold, probably. But if you love learning new stuff and trying things out, you know, it's a great place to be right now. And, it's interesting because VR and probably AR to some extent are nothing really totally new. I mean, we've been, you know, playing with this kind of thing for quite a while now. I mean, for many years at least. And this year, it seems to be really an explosion of devices. So you see a lot of devices. You see a lot of applications as well. Like most recently, you know, the actuality is the latest Pokemon Go, right? Which is an augmented reality application running on phones, basically. And it's interesting because this is really taking the world by storm. And I just saw a stat saying that they have something like as many or maybe even more by now, more users than Twitter has. And so it's been really, the curve has been going up very, very fast. And so, you know, we are right now in the phase where when you tell somebody, oh, I'm doing augmented reality development, you don't really, well, maybe you need to explain it a little bit still, but more and more, we don't really need to explain that. And before it was the same with mobile development, right? When you were telling somebody, oh, I'm doing mobile development, they didn't know what you meant. And now they do. So now we are kind of in one of those phases where people are starting to realize the possibilities of stuff that is around us, and you have new devices and you have new platforms and you have new development frameworks. And you know, like I said, I was at Unite in Amsterdam, and I have to say some of the demos that they were showing are absolutely amazing. I mean, they are at a level of realism now that they can create, you know, 3D scenes which are very, very hard to distinguish from a movie, basically. And so when you have this kind of power in your hand, right? And I'm not saying the HoloLens is able to render, you know, this type of holograms, because it requires a power of computation which is huge, and so you need some, you know, some big computers to do that. But I mean, even the fact that that we are able to render these kind of things, and with particles and with smoke and with lights and with diffuse light and with shadows and all kind of things, it's really mind-boggling. I mean, I remember, you know, when we got XAML 10 years ago and we were able to to take a video and make it rotate in what we used to call that the 3D space, but actually it was not 3D, right? Everything was affine transform. So it was sometimes called 2.5D, you know, something like that. So basically, we were able to take a video and kind of skew it and rotate it and do these kind of things. That was already pretty amazing. But nowadays, what you can do with those 3D environments is really mind-boggling. I have.
It sounds like you're having a tremendous amount of fun, and it's tempting to talk to you through the whole podcast about it. But you have a new Pluralsight course that you're working on, and I wanted to ask you about that as well.
Of course, yeah. So I wanted to say, so the you know, the Unity learning and the HoloLens thing, and of course it's a lot of fun, but by no means am I stopping to do XAML and stopping to do MVVM and stopping to do anything else. And in fact, I just came back, like you said, from a string of conferences where I spoke about Windows 10, about WPF, because WPF 10 years later is still a popular topic in conferences, which makes me really happy. We are still doing quite a lot of WPF projects. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to a client speak about WPF, so we have a whole day workshop with them. So really very, very nice technology, very, very lively technology, I would say. And so in the field of MVVM Lite, as you know, we met at Evolve before that, and actually we were both speakers at Evolve, so it was really cool there, Xamarin Evolve, I mean, in Orlando. I do have a version of MVVM Lite which runs on Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and Xamarin Form. And that's been actually out for about 2 years now, a little bit more at the moment. And I spoke about it at Xamarin Evolve in 2014 in Atlanta. And I spoke about it again in 2016, so a few months ago in Orlando. And basically, the new Pluralsight course is going to be dedicated to MVVM Lite on Xamarin. So I already have a course which is called MVVM Lite Fundamentals, which is showing you all the components and how they work and with a lot of samples, etc. It's a 4 hours and a half course, so it's quite a big course. But of course, in this course, there is nothing about Xamarin. And for Xamarin, I have a few components which are really only for Xamarin. And mostly, I would say those components are used because in Xamarin, you don't have data binding out of the box. Well, you do in Xamarin Forms, but not in iOS and not in Android. And so my component in MVVM Lite is going to actually add data binding, so you can do some data binding there. You can do some commanding as well. I also have some components which take care of binding to lists. So if you have an observable collection, for example, it updates the list automatically for you and creates reusable cell templates, etc. So there is quite a lot of work which has been put into basically running MVVM Lite on Xamarin Direct. And so that's going to the new course is going to be probably around 3 hours, I guess. It's going to be a lot of samples as well and a lot of examples on how to structure your application on Xamarin. And I'm not going to go into a generic approaches about MVVM or not even talking much about the components of MVVM, because there is already courses for that. And as you know, at Pluralsight, we try to have really original content in every course. But I'm really going to concentrate on the components which are original and specific to Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS, and Xamarin Forms.
That sounds like a great course. Let me tell you that I'm wrapping up a very large project that we did with Xamarin Forms, as well as MVVM Lite. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how they work together, because my experience was that there was a very nice fit between the two of them.
Well, that's great to hear. And I remember we talked about that, and I'm really happy to hear it went well. Basically, I would say using MVVM Lite with Xamarin Forms is probably probably easier, especially if you come from WPF or CLI development or XAML development in general, because the good thing is that even though some of the syntax is different, but basically Xamarin Forms is a XAML interface, and so you're going to develop your UI in XAML, and then you're going to be able to use data binding, because that's really the critical component of any MVVM application is data binding. And so if you have that out of the box, which Xamarin Forms has, and all the XAML frameworks on the Microsoft side also have, then using MVVM is really fairly easy. I mean, it's going to react to iNotify property change, which is, the normal event that we react to. On Xamarin Forms, they are also going to react to the collection change event. So if you have an observable collection, you can render it into a list view of some kind, and then that's going to render. So it's very close close to what we are used to in Windows development. And since MVVM Lite comes from the Windows development side, I would say the adaptation is fairly easy. And in fact, when I speak about MVVM Lite for Xamarin in conferences, I don't go very deep into Xamarin forms because I don't really need to go very deep, because mostly it's the same, you know, the same skills and the same things that people have picked on WPF Silverlite and Windows Phone and Windows 10. And so, you know, kudos to the Xamarin team for that level of compatibility. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that you don't have to learn new things when you do Xamarin Forms. And I would say probably the most difficult part of Xamarin Forms development is when you have to start tweaking the user interface so that it adapts nicely to each platform which is supported. Because as you know, you have, you know, one UI and then that's going to render to every platform which is supported. And of course, into the rendering process, you're going to have some loss of fidelity, I would say. So if you expect your application to render to an iOS app, you know, an iOS platform, and to render to an Android platform in exactly the same manner, of course, there is going to be a little bit of discrepancy because those platforms are just not the same. They have different controls which react differently. And so if you want to tweak the platform, of course, that's going to be a lot of, tweaking the renderers and maybe changing a little bit how they work. And maybe, well, now Xamarin has helped us quite a lot. We have Xamarin Effects, which are kind of lightweight renderers. So basically the process of tweaking the platform is probably the most costly. But the initial part of really structuring your application according to MVVM and doing the binding, that's something which is very, very close from the Windows programming. So it's not really something that we need to learn in a new manner. And so as a matter of fact, I didn't really have to adapt the components of MVVM Lite much. The only thing I had to do really is work a little bit on how to show dialogues and how to do navigations, which are always some very painful services just because on every platform it's very different. And so, of course, for every platform that MVVM Lite supports, I have to come up with some implementation which makes sense. And there are a few difficulties also around the installation. So if you want to install a new MVVM Lite, basically create a new Xamarin Forms application with MVVM Lite, there are a few tweaks that you need to do. But in general, it works pretty well together.
Let me ask you about that, because for Forms, I found that all you needed to do was go to NuGet, download the MVVM Lite library package to each of the projects, and you were off and running. Did I miss something that's difficult?
No, that is absolutely correct. If you are an experienced developer who knows what to do with those libraries, and that's your case, definitely. I also have another package which is called MVVM Lite, which is not MVVM Lite library, which is really I call it the full package, if I may say so. The full package comes with additional content, and it's exactly the same libraries, but in addition, I'm going to try to add a view model into your application and a view model locator, and to do a little bit of scaffolding, to do a little bit of modifying the file so that basically when you install that, you can pretty much run your application and it's already an MVVM Lite application out of the box. Unfortunately, in Xamarin Forms, it's very difficult to do that for the main reason that Xamarin Forms application is really a composite of multiple applications. So even though you have one solution, you still have, you know, an Android project and an iOS project, and in some cases, a Windows project as well, plus a shared project, which is a portable class library. And so tweaking that was quite difficult. So if you know what you're doing and you go to NuGet and you pull, the MVVM Lite libraries only, if you pull the MVVM Lite lib package, then you're good to go pretty much. But then you have to do a little bit of scaffolding by hand, which is not really such a huge deal. And there is some documentation on the web to show you how to do that. I like to have a solution where people can kind of click on the button and sit down and relax. And unfortunately, that particular solution for Xamarin Form is quite difficult to implement, so I don't really have that yet. I do have this experience, like the one-click experience for Xamarin Android and for Xamarin iOS on the other hand.
Let's talk a little bit about communication within the MVVM Lite and Xamarin Forms interaction, specifically with relay commands and messaging.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. So relay command and messaging pretty much work as you would expect. And so you know, the good thing, there was quite a large effort, you know, a few years ago when basically MVVM Lite was converted to the portable class library system. And I have to say a lot of the work has been done by people from the community, notably Oren Novotny, who is also a Microsoft MVP and also Xamarin MVP, by the way. A very nice guy, and he really helped me a lot doing that push. So I'm very grateful, because now the main branch of MVVM Lite is a portable class library branch. And what it means is that the components into this portable class library are going to react like you would expect on any framework which supports that portable class library profile. And Xamarin does. And so it's really nice, because when I ported my components to Xamarin, they pretty much worked immediately without having to tweak them in any way, with a few exceptions. But really, those exceptions were quite minor. So in the case of Relay Command, since Xamarin Forms has a commanding framework, which means that you can have a button and then you can have a command property, and you can bind this command to a relay command on your view model, the commanding is going to work just like you would expect. Messaging pretty much works like you would expect as well. There are sometimes some difficulties when you are, you know, trying to send messages across thread and things like that, but basically, if you know, the challenges, I would say, are pretty much the same than on Windows. So if you know how those components work on Windows, you're not going to have too many surprises, I would say.
One of the things that we looked at, and I actually wrote up how to do this on my blog, was we wanted to open up a second page, gather some information, almost like a modal dialogue, and bring it back to the first page. And the way we did that was we set a behavior so that we knew when the user stopped entering information, and then we used messaging to get the data back to the calling page.
Right. Yeah, so behaviors are pretty awesome, and Xamarin has them, even though, well, Xamarin Forms, I should say, has them, even though it's not the same implementation as Windows behavior, right? So there is an adaptation. There is a little bit of a learning curve here. And to be clear, behaviors have nothing to do with MVVM Lite, right? So it's a platform feature, and we just take advantage of them in multiple places when we use MVVM, because in some cases, behaviors fit very well with MVVM, always with the idea of removing some code from the view. And so the behavior is kind of, it's view code, but it's encapsulated in a way that we don't really have that code floating in our controller, in our view. So in Xamarin Forms, it would be in the .cs, right? The XAML.cs. So that's pretty cool. The messaging is going to work, and what you describe is probably quite a good scenario for messaging. It's a scenario where you have two pages which live fairly separated from each other, even though they, at some level, they probably know about each other, especially the one which is opening the second one probably knows about the child window. But ideally, the child window doesn't really know about the parent window, and so it's a little bit, or I should say page, right, in that case. And of course, there are some...
You're absolutely right about which way the knowledge path goes, and that, of course, is where messaging comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some difficulties, especially on Android, where each page is kind of, you know, it's if it's an activity, right? Those activities live in very isolated from each other. They don't necessarily know which one is the main activity or which one is a parent activity or this kind of thing. And so messaging, of course, especially in relationship with the view model, is going to help you, because the view model is there. So even if the activity is paused for a while, you know, the view model that is containing the state is still going to be there. And so if you have another page sending a message, that's going to work, basically. And so you don't really have to worry about, oh, is my first activity still there? Has it been collected already? Is it, you know, is it paused, or what is it doing, basically? And so, yeah, I would say that in that particular scenario, messaging is probably a good idea.
Great. We also found that when we were using MVVM Lite with Xamarin Forms, that it would be very easy to overuse messaging.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest risk of the messenger, is that it's a little bit cracked. And once you try it, you kind of want to do it every, I don't know, can I say that on the air?
Oh yeah, if you can say it anywhere, you can say it on a podcast.
All right, I would probably say that, yeah. So anyway, it's a little bit like, you know, like chocolate, right? When you try it, you can never stop.
That's much more innocent than crack cocaine.
That's also like much more Swiss, I think. So let's go with the chocolate analogy. Anyway, what I was saying is that, yes, there is definitely a risk. risk. And the problem is with Messenger, and the reason why I make people a little bit aware and maybe a little bit careful or cautious, I would say, about Messenger, is that, as it was pointed to me many times, it's actually an anti-pattern. And so we have, you know, in object-oriented programming, we have this kind of responsibility clearly defined, and we have those objects, and one object, you know, does something, and then another one does something else, and then there is some level of communication between those, but we try to not really have a good object who knows about everything else, right? And unfortunately, the Messenger is a little bit of a good object, if you want. I mean, it's going to be there, and people register to the Messenger, and people send messages through the Messenger, and the Messenger knows about those objects. And of course, it's fairly cleanly implemented with weak references, and, you know, the risk of memory leaks, etc., is fairly low. But the real risk is not really on the memory leaks, or not really on the physical aspects of things, but it's almost philosophical, if you want. We try to avoid, in general, in object-oriented application, to have these kind of you know, very, very powerful objects who know everything. And so the Messenger is a little bit that. So usually for me, what I say is that Messenger is a little bit like the last resort. And if I have a scenario where I would say I don't really have an easy way out, I don't really have, another possibility of abstracting the relationship between two objects, then I definitely fall back on the Messenger. And a great scenario is if you have a number of children and you're not sure exactly how many children, and, you know, getting back to the parent is very complicated because you don't want to have each child know about the parent, which would be a kind of a bad scenario. So if you have this kind of scenario, Messenger is great. And honestly, I would say probably in every application I develop, I have Messenger at some point. But I try to keep it reasonable, and I try not to over abuse it. And actually, since I have the simple IOC, which is an IOC container, you can kind of replace some of the scenarios that the Messenger was very helpful with an abstraction, with an interface that you register into the IOC container. And this way, it's a little bit better defined. It's also a little bit easier to follow, because when you want to debug, you know, if a message doesn't arrive, basically it's kind of hard to know why it doesn't arrive. Like, is it the Messenger who blocked it? Is the registration invalid? Or did something happen on the way and the message was lost? Or is, did the garbage collector do something nasty and the recipient is not there anymore? Or, you know, it's a little bit difficult to analyze those cases. So it's not a very, very, I would say very, very intuitive object to use. And it's very powerful, but, you know, with great power, you know, comes great responsibility. And so you need to be a little bit careful when you use it. Does that make sense?
It makes very good sense. It does raise for me the question, as you were talking in passing about the IOC container. Do you use IOC container with Xamarin Forms, which has dependency service, or just with the native Xamarin?
Actually, I tend to use MVVM Lite a little bit everywhere, mostly because this is the interface I know. And so, like you say, Xamarin Forms has actually not just dependency service, but they have a range of components which help you to do MVVM out of the box. So, strictly speaking, you can say if you do an application which is purely Xamarin Forms, I would say, except maybe for a few components, for a few exceptions, you could probably go without MVVM Lite, and you could do the whole thing in Xamarin Forms with those components. Now, using MVVM Lite on Xamarin Forms has a few advantages. First of all, it's a very well-known solution, so a lot of people know that. There is a lot of documentation online, so it's less new than the Xamarin Forms component. And so even though the Xamarin Forms component, you know, probably work very well, I would say MVVM Lite is very well established, very well known. So you're going to have maybe a little bit something which is a little bit easier to climb into, I would say. Another thing is that if you want to develop something and you do Xamarin Forms application, but at some point you want to port it, for example, to Xamarin Android or Xamarin iOS proper, like not the classic one, not the Forms one, or even going to Windows, then of course the Xamarin Forms component only work on Xamarin Forms. And so you're going to have some issues going cross-platform with those components. So, you know, I see a lot of people who say, oh yeah, I'm using the Xamarin Forms component directly, and that's really fine. I mean, if it's something you know and you like, I mean, it's absolutely okay. And I really have no objection at all. The only objection comes, I would say, if you already know MVVM Lite, then of course the learning curve is going to be a lot less steep, because those are the same components that you know. If you have plans to go cross-platform at some point, and cross-platform in a way where you take, for example, your portable class library, your model, your view model layers, and then put them on another platform like Windows, for example. MVVM Lite is going to help you there because it is already available on those platforms. And I would say in the case of the IOC container, it's probably a little bit more flexible than the dependency service. Like it has a little bit more options or a little bit more ways to do things. I think the Xamarin team did a good job offering components out of the box, which is something, by the way, that Microsoft never did, right? I mean, Microsoft never really had components out of the box for MVVM for Windows. So that's an interesting approach, actually.
Well, of course, and when this was developed, they weren't quite Microsoft yet.
Yeah. So Xamarin did that when they were absolutely Xamarin, and now they are still Xamarin, but they are part of Microsoft. So things are a little bit different. But what I meant with my remark is that back then, when we first started working in MVVM, and the first, I bet you remember, the number of frameworks that came out, there was really like an explosion of MVVM framework, a little bit like, yes, the JavaScript frameworks these days, right? Like every day you had a new one. And at some point, there was some speculation that maybe Microsoft would take some components and put them into the, that you would have, for example, a relay command as a .NET API. And in fact, that never happened because Microsoft decided to rather let people use the frameworks. And by doing that, there are always two sides to a knife, right? I mean, on one hand, it was good for the community because it basically created, a lot of excitement around the frameworks, and really people were actually using them because Microsoft didn't have something out of the box. Maybe the negative side is that it was, for a long time, it was very difficult to know which framework should I use because you had so many of those. And so finding guidance on which framework to use was a little bit difficult, probably. But anyway, Xamarin decided to have a different approach, and I'm fine with that, and I think it's actually pretty cool to have new ideas as well, because when you see new frameworks doing things that you already do, you can also find new ideas and then improve your framework, and so that's pretty cool. Another good contender actually is Prism, and I want to mention them because I think they do pretty good work, and I think they, MVVM Lite has been, I've been spending a lot of time on Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS and doing the data binding framework and all that. But I think Prism has spent quite a lot of time on the Xamarin Forms side of things. And, Prism is not Microsoft anymore. It's an open source project now. And my good friends Brian Noyes and Brian Lagunas are actively developing on that. And it seems to be pretty cool. And they have a lot of good ideas there as well.
All right. I have, 100 more questions for you, but I'm going to let you go in a couple of minutes. Before I do, talk to me a little bit about this new Pluralsight course. When will it be ready? And who is the target audience?
Oh, the when question is a good one. And I'm sure my editor has the same question as well. So basically, I drafted a fairly aggressive schedule, mostly to keep me on my toes. And I don't really want to talk about when, because this is still very early and I really just started working on it. But I would say, sometimes when it's going to get a little bit colder, I think we'll see the course. Winter will
be coming. But you think it'll be out in 2016?
I'm hoping, definitely. I mean, it would have to go very wrong to not be out in 2016. So I'm definitely targeting 2020 for that course. Hopefully I'm not going to regret, telling you that in a few months. The target audience is going to be, I would say, anybody who really wants to do, Xamarin with MVVM Lite. And ideally, I would say a prerequisite is going to know what MVVM is and know what MVVM Lite is. And thankfully, there are courses for that. And my good friend Jill Claren has a great course about MVVM. And Brian Noyes, who I already mentioned, has a great course about the MVVM for WPF. But basically, if you can easily prepare yourself. So if the learning curve is much too steep for you, you can already prepare yourself by watching a few other courses. And as Pluralsight is a subscription. So once you pay for your subscription, you can watch as many courses as you want, pretty much. And so for a period of time, right? And so I think that we have a nice model here where I'm working in collaboration with Jill Claren, with Brian Noyes, with other people, to also with other people who did, pure Xamarin courses, to basically make sure that there is not so much overlap. So you're not going to feel that, just repeating the stuff that I already know. The goal is really to go quite fast into new stuff. And that's going to be clearly about how do you structure your application in Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and Xamarin Forms with MVVM Lite components. How do you use those components? How do you use the new components which are specifically for Xamarin, like the data binding component, you know, the observable collections, helpers, etc., and all that. And I believe that it will be an interesting course to see. And for people who come from the Windows world and who wants to climb into Xamarin development, that's probably going to be a good way to that. At least that's my... Now, for people who come from the Xamarin world and who want to climb into this new MVVM stuff, then they will probably want to start with a generic MVVM course first, and then after that, dive into Xamarin, the MVVM Lite for Xamarin course, so that they can see a lot of samples and a lot of demos on how to...
Okay, one last bit, which is this. Since Microsoft purchased or acquired Xamarin, it's my impression there's been a huge spike in interest in Xamarin.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you seeing that? Are you seeing a lot more interest in getting started with Xamarin, using Xamarin, integrating it into projects and so forth?
Yeah, so the early indicator, because that's very new, right? And so, you know, like me, that Microsoft acquired Xamarin just a few months ago, and even more recently, they announced that it would be free and open sourced and available for everybody. And so that was, you know, one of the big objections of doing Xamarin work from managers was, oh yeah, but I'm going to have to buy licenses, and those licenses are a subscription, and now all that is a pass. So you don't have subscription license anymore for Xamarin. In fact, you don't have a license anymore for Xamarin. It's all free to use. It's inside Visual Studio by default, even the community edition, and so that generated a lot of interest. So
my favorite price point is free.
Yeah, well,
I love free.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm okay. Honestly, I never really had problems paying for licenses when I know what I get for that, and I understand the business models that Xamarin decided to have. Microsoft is another story altogether. And Microsoft, historically, their developer tools have been, for the most part, either free or very affordable, and then they have those enterprise editions, etc., which have additional stuff, but not the stuff that you absolutely need to get started. So if you want to get started, Microsoft, you know, is a great environment, right? So now they have this model for Xamarin as well. And so that's definitely generating excitement. I would say at the enterprise level, I see more interest for Xamarin coming up. Definitely, it's now part of pretty much every discussion that we have. So that's great. I don't see a spike yet, but this is normal because enterprise needs more time, and the spike is definitely going to come. It's just taking a little bit longer. Where I see the spike, on the other hand, are the conferences. Like I said, I've been quite a few conferences recently, and the Xamarin sessions have been pretty much full, and I mean, you know, standing room only, right? And so in the conferences there is a lot of developers. There are a lot of developers who were there and thinking, oh yeah, this Xamarin stuff, oh, I need to pay something, well, I'm not super interested, and didn't necessarily go and see the sessions. And now suddenly there is this emulation, like, first of all, oh wow, it's part of Microsoft, so it has to be something fairly established, and second of all, you know, the price point is free, and so I can get started tomorrow if I want. So let's go and see that. And so I think that there is definitely a lot of excitement and a lot of good vibes in the community at the